Romans chapter 12. I think this message this morning will be very, very helpful to you because it's intended to be very, very practical, not because I'm making it such, but I think the Bible is going to make it practical. If you were not here last week, you need to absolutely 100% listen to last week's message because it's covering what are spiritual gifts. This message is covering what's my spiritual gift? How do I know my spiritual gift? And I think this goes to every person who is a Christian for you to have some tools to know what your spiritual gift is. Let me give you the definition that I gave last week. It's a little bit cumbersome, but it's kind of inclusive in lots of language. A spiritual gift is an ability given to each Christian by the Holy Spirit for the common good of the local church to accomplish its purpose of making disciples, of making Jesus known, thus bringing honor to God. Okay? That's my definition of what a spiritual gift is. Let me give you one verse that encapsulates in a practical way spiritual gifts for the purpose of this message this morning. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Let me give you three things. This is not the points of the message, just three things from that verse that are very obvious. Number one, every Christian has a gift. Every Christian has a gift. So let me stop here and say that what we're talking about is for Christians. Now, natural talent, like you don't have to be a Christian to have natural talent. There's lots of talented people in the world. Creativity and talent and all of that. What we're talking about is that God gives a spiritual gift to a Christian. If you're here and you're not sure you're a Christian, what is a Christian? A Christian is someone who recognizes that Jesus died for their sin. They are not getting to heaven on their own, but trusting only Jesus to save them and have asked Jesus for the gift of eternal life. So you're completely reliant upon God, not church, not baptism, not good works, but reliant upon Jesus to save you from your sin. If you don't know that, you can ask Jesus to save you. If you don't know how to do that or have questions about that, please ask us about that. But every Christian has a gift. This verse also says the most effective use of that gift is to serve another person. Now, I've put in the definition within the local church because as Paul is writing, he's writing to local churches. So, you know, you can serve in the community, you can use your gift to bless other people, but what are you doing within this body to serve other people with the gift that God has given you? But it has even a broader purpose than those things in this passage. It says, as good stewards of God's varied grace. What does that mean? When you use your gift, you are giving a ray or a shade of color to enable someone to see and experience God's wonderful, colorful grace. I wrote it like that because I wanted to write it like that, all right? I think that God's grace is so wonderful and colorful and so varied. How is He going to show His grace? He's going to show it through average people in local churches who have been given gifts, who are serving one another. And you, my friend, are showing others the grace of God by your service. You are. You are. That's what God does with gifts. Now, I want to read this passage in Romans 12. I told you there's four passages that talk about gifts. We looked at one last week. We're going to look at one today. Romans 12. For by the grace, this beginning in verse 3. We're going to start in verse 3. We'll come back to two verses. I know they're important. Verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, stop right there and let me talk. Do you think you have enough faith that if I called on you right now and said, come step up here and preach the rest of the message, that you could do that? Do you have the faith to do that? Probably not. Now, most of you would probably say, well, if you did that, I'd probably get up and just read a passage. No, I'm talking, if I called on you and I said, preach on spiritual gifts, I can't finish the message, you do it. Do you have the faith to do that? Probably not. Do you know why? That hasn't been given to you as a responsibility today. That is my responsibility. That is what God has, look at verse 3, the end of verse 3, has assigned to me. Therefore, it is my responsibility to exercise faith, to use the gift to do what God has given me to do. Do you know, just as clearly as I stated what I just did about my responsibility, you have a responsibility to exercise your gift by faith. They say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, that's the purpose of the message, so we can find that out. Now, I want to make this very clear. I think I've tried to make this clear even last week. There are, in the scripture states this, there are gifts that seem more prominent than others, but are necessary to the body. I mean, is it very clear, folks, that we look with our eyes, we talk with our mouths, we hear with our ears, but if this joint on this finger is not operational, it really does affect me. So the fact that right now I am, so to speak, the mouth is a prominent gift. I'm saying certain things does not diminish the need for any other giftedness in the body. And your need to exercise that gift by faith. Now let's go on in verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, the members do not have the same function. We're not all doing the same thing. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. And individually members one of another. Now that's even a mouthful right there. I stated before, the fact that Jesus, that God calls the local church the body of Christ is so personal. Because our bodies are personal, right? We would protect our bodies, we clothe our bodies, put makeup on our bodies, put deodorant on our bodies. We take care of our bodies, and so our bodies are very important. God calls this local church the body of an angel? No. The body of divine celestial things? No. The body of His precious Son, Jesus. And that precious Son, Jesus, that body, this body, is made up of all kinds of people and gifts. And every one of them, every one of them, the mouth, the eyes, the ears, the finger, this joint right here, the whole thing is the body of Christ. You can't point to this joint and say, that's not the body of Rob. You can't say, only the head is Rob. The rest of it's not Rob. The whole thing is Rob. The whole thing. The Christians here at Bethel Baptist Church are the body of Christ. Very important. We're connected to each other, individually members one of another. So, verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Is it possible that you have a spiritual gift and you're not using it? Yes, because he says, let us use them. You've got to use them. You've got to exercise by faith. I mean, I could have a really good sermon in my head, but I'm not going to preach it. Those people don't deserve it. I don't want to. I'm afraid. I have a lot going on in my life. I'm not doing it. I mean, how many excuses could I come up? Now, you're like, well, no, you have to. You're getting paid or else we won't pay you. I mean, you could say stuff like that, but listen, we can choose not to exercise our gift. Or I can simply deliver messages. I can be wah, 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 and not exercise any faith at all. Just be like, who cares? I'm just doing this for a paycheck. I'll tell them what they want to hear, and that's it. We all have an opportunity of exercising our gift in ways that are dysfunctional. What he's saying here is, if you got a gift as a Christian, and you do, you've got to use it. And so then he lists, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. In service, in our serving. By the way, I know I'm like commenting. Some of you like that, some of you don't. Let's just kind of walk through it here a little bit. When it says if prophecy in proportion to our faith, don't get caught up on the word prophecy. Let's just say that's declarative utterance, which is what I'm doing right now. So in proportion to the assignment that God has given me, God hasn't given me the assignment of packing out a football stadium like Billy Graham and preaching to them. As much as I'd like to do that, that's not my assignment. This is my assignment. God hasn't called me to pastor a megachurch out in California. He hasn't called me to pastor a small church in North Dakota. He hasn't called me to do that. He's called me right here to this place. This is my assignment. So in proportion to the faith assigned is what God has given you to do. As much as there's something better you might think out there, God has assigned something to you right here. So, verse 7, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, 2 points to this message. Here they are. What are the spiritual gifts, and how can I find out my spiritual gift? Now, what are the spiritual gifts? Here's where I'm just going to give you a list. I Googled this, all right? So this is how I studied this. I Googled this. How many spiritual gifts are there? Pretty simple. There are between 18 and 27 listed gifts of the four lists. So I say 18 to 27. It depends how you combine them, what you think about them, and so forth. I would say, in my estimation, there's probably 21 or 22 listed gifts. But it's like colors, folks. It's like these are the colors, but then you start merging and mingling colors, and you actually have hundreds and hundreds of colors. You actually have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of combinations of gifts that God gives to people. But you have about 21, 22. So here are the gifts that are listed. I simply copied and pasted this, okay? So this is just a categorization I like. There are in the scripture what are called miraculous gifts. Do I have a slide for that? Yes, okay, here they are. The gift of the apostle, the gift of tongues, the gift of the interpretation of tongues, the gift of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Now, you'll see passages that refer to those. Let me give you a small rabbit trail. Do you love when preachers do rabbit trails? You say, well, I do, as long as it's within time frame here, bud. I did a planned rabbit trail, and I'm going to talk to you just briefly about what are sometimes referred to as the sign gifts. And I'm going to give you our church's position, my own position on sign gifts. All of these, we could spend a lot of time on defining, even like apostle. So the word apostle, these are people who saw the resurrected Christ. However, some people would define the gift of apostleship are those who start new ministries. So I could go with that. However, generally speaking, this grouping of five, in 1 Corinthians 13, please don't let me lose you on this. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 12, it talks about some gifts ceasing. It says it right there. I'm not pointing it out, having you read it because of time, but there are some gifts that cease. It says prophecies and tongues will cease. Now again, the word prophecies has a little bit more of a nuanced way. I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But what we believe here is that there were certain miraculous gifts in this list right here, or sign gifts, that were predominantly operational in the first century and a couple centuries after that, following the resurrection of Christ, for the authentication of the message. So what authenticates the message today? How is the message I'm preaching today authenticated? Is it that I preach the message and then I say, if anybody has an ailment today, come forward. And then I heal the person and you're like, whoa, that's a prophet, man, because God used him to heal somebody. Does that authenticate the message? No. The message is authenticated by the Word. It is the authority of the Word of God. Prior to having the entire Bible, there were ways that God authenticated the message, and these were gifts given primarily to the early church. Now, how do we know that they have somewhat come to an end? Because through church history, they taper off. You don't see these gifts operational throughout church history. You see them at different times, and I believe today those gifts do indeed operate at different times under certain circumstances. So, is it possible that somebody would be a missionary and go to a foreign place and is in an unusual circumstance and has never studied a known language in their life before and all of a sudden start speaking that language? Is that possible? Do I believe that's happened? Absolutely. You know why? Because that's a miracle. And does God still do miracles? Is that done? No. God still does miracles. However, the gift of giving that to someone has largely ceased. So if someone says they have the gift of miracles from God or healing people, I would highly question that. Because these gifts, according to 1 Corinthians 13, have largely tapered off and have largely gone away and are seen at different times, but in a very special circumstance because, folks, we have the completed Word of God. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that, because if you want to talk further about that, we can talk about that afterwards. That's all I want to say. One of the reasons I want to stop there is because whenever spiritual gifts are talked about in a church like ours, usually we take this huge detour into tongue speaking. And then we never get to the other gifts, and people are still left wondering about what their gifts are. We go on to the second category of enabling gifts. Here they are: faith, discernment, wisdom, and knowledge. Faith, discernment, wisdom, and knowledge. Now, I'm going to ask for some audience feedback, okay? I'm not going to call you out. Just do this all together, all right? Are all Christians to exercise faith, yes or no? Yes. Are all Christians called to exercise discernment, yes or no? Yes. Are all Christians called to exercise wisdom, yes or no? Yes. Are all Christians called to exercise knowledge, yes or no? Yes. Are all Christians called to be Eagles fans, yes or no? Yes. I just threw that in. That was a trick. That was a trick. But I need you to be mentally sharp on this. I need you to be mentally sharp. All Christians are called to do those four things. However, folks, there are some people that God will gift within a congregation with an extra measure, or the scripture would say, with an extra proportion of that. Now, I want you to let that seep in, because you may be one of those people. You may be one of those people that God is gifting, God is touching in one of those ways with wisdom or knowledge, and before this, you've only done maybe some service projects and so forth, and it could be God wants you to actually teach something. Oh, no, I can't do that. Well, it's by faith, right? It's by faith. So these are gifts that God gives, some enabling gifts. And then there are, in this third category, and I really like this kind of category designation, team gifts. Team gifts. So we have evangelism, passionately leading others to the saving knowledge of Christ. Are all Christians supposed to be evangelistic? Yes. Some people are particularly burdened and skillful at this. The gift of prophecy, boldly and fearlessly proclaiming God's truth. The gift of teaching, making clear the truth of God's word with simplicity and accuracy. The gift of exhortation, motivating others to action, application, and purpose. The gift of shepherding, overseeing, training, feeding, coaching, leading. The gift of serving, providing practical help both physically and spiritually. The gift of mercy showing, identifying with and comforting those in need. The gift of giving, releasing material resources to further the work of the church. The gift of administration, organizing, administering, promoting, and leading. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, I love simplicity, and Peter breaks it down into two divisions. He says that there are speaking gifts. So, through this list, some of these are speaking gifts. Some of these are serving gifts. Speaking, serving. So, I wouldn't think that giving is a speaking gift. It's a serving gift. I would primarily think that prophecy is a speaking gift, not necessarily a serving gift. So there's two categories of this. Now, this list is not exhaustive. Let me ask you a question. Where's music in that? Where's music in that? Should we have music in church? I mean, obviously, yes. But if it's not a gift, and it's so important, what's happening when music is going on? It's a question I want to put to you. Where is the gift of working in the nursery? Where's the gift of working in the nursery? Where's the gift of ushering? Where's the gift of sound ministry? There's a lot of things that we do that are not listed in those gifts that are really, really important. And so I want you to think about actually what people are gifted to do. By the way, last week I gave you the illustration of the church choir where I grew up in Canton, Ohio, and the guy that sat on the front who was just incredibly happy all the time and what that did to my soul. What spiritual gift do you think was actually being operational with that one guy in a large church choir and how it was being communicated to other people? Like if you were to go through that list, what would you assign to that being a spiritual gift? I did that. I went through the list and I looked and I said, I think it's the gift of exhortation. I think that God was giving. But you say, well, he's in the choir. He's doing music. But that's not the gift. The gift is exhorting. This is the vehicle that God has given him to do that with. So I want you to kind of break away a little bit from thinking about positions at church and actually the giftedness that the Scripture talks about that's meeting needs within the congregation. Now, how can I find out my spiritual gift? Here's the part we want to know. I'm not going to talk at all except for this real teeny tiny little bit about spiritual gifts tests. Okay? I'm not for or against spiritual gifts tests. So if you look one up and you want to take one, that's fine. If you want to talk to me about what your gift is, that's fine. The strong caution I could give you on that is that while I don't think those are bad, I think there are other ways the Scripture gives to find out your gifts. So let me tell you the danger of a spiritual gifts test. I took one when I was in college, and from that point, I can't get away from the result of my test. Like in my mind, if you said, no, Rob, you actually, I think you have the gift of such and such, I would say no, because the test told me I was such and such. Now, who should I believe? The people I minister with or the test? Now, I know tests can, inclinations, all that, but how do we know our spiritual gift? As basic as what I'm going to share with you, it will seem at first, please, please stick with me. This is the most important thing. Did you note that I started us in Romans 12 and verse 3, and I skipped over verses 1 and 2? Go back to verse 1. Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You say, Rob, I thought those verses were for teenagers at Christian camp. I thought those were for teenagers to get their life right with God. How do they relate to spiritual gifts? That's a good question because they're right before a section on spiritual gifts. So here is number one, folks, about determining your spiritual gift. Number one is surrender. Now, I'm serious because the Scripture is serious about this. We're going to actually pause and practice this morning. You need to surrender yourself to God. You say, oh, I did that when I was 13. Oh, really? And you're still surrendered and you haven't done anything since you were 13 and now you're 62? You have a Herculean effort of maintaining a surrender. It's like, you know what that's like? It's like saying I worked out when I was a sophomore in high school and I'm still pretty jacked. Come on. How many times do you have to surrender to be right with God? How about 1,000 times a day? That verse isn't once and done. That verse is multiple times, especially those of you who have kids in school, man. You're out of the summer schedule, you're having it, and now it's like, you know, you're gonna be, anybody need anything? Everybody's got their pencils, everybody did it, and you're on your way to school. Oh man, I need book covers, and they said if I didn't have it, I'm gonna be grounded, I'm gonna be fired, I'm gonna be kicked out of school. You know, and you're like, well, I ask you. You gotta surrender. You surrender. How do I know my spiritual gift? The first thing is you surrender. Is this not discerning what the will of God is for you? Let me just walk you through the passage. Is finding your spiritual gift finding the will of God for you? Where does that start? The passage says surrender. What do I surrender? Your whole body. You know what comes with your whole body, your whole pocketbook, your whole time, your whole family? The sphere around which you operate is in surrender. That's what the text is talking about. Who do I do that to? To the church? Do I go to the church? Do I go to the pastor and say, I'm surrendered, I'll do whatever you want me to do? No. You surrender, the text says, to whom? God. You surrender yourself to God. When people, I want to talk to us kind of broadly as a church, I've been talking to you as individuals. As a church, we need to see it as our sacred duty to take the sacrifice of people's lives very seriously. That means there needs to be an appropriate response to the various stages of people's lives and the needs of their lives, and the busynesses of their lives, combined with the amount of programs we have. We cannot simply take the sacred duty of you sacrificing your life to God and then going and saying, I need you to do these seven things. Why? Because if we don't do them, people will leave the church, and we need to have this, we need to have this, we need to have this. People are so busy and overloaded. Folks, this is a sacred duty that we surrender ourselves to God, our whole bodies to God. The church needs to have an appropriate response to that. So here's what I'm saying by practicing this right now. We're going to pause. And I want you to surrender yourself to the Lord. Instead of just going on with this message and sometime later and it's like, oh, I need to surrender, I want to challenge you to do that now. I'm not going to ask for your response. I'm not going to say, how many of you did that? You may be here and you may not be a Christian. You say, what am I supposed to do? When we pray in just a moment, you're going to simply say, God, would you show yourself real to me in whatever way you deem best? Or, God, I don't know if you're there, but if you are, please show yourself to me. I don't know. Whatever you want to say is up to you. You may be not ready to surrender yourself. You need to tell that to God. Just tell him. You say, well, he'll be mad at me. Really? I thought he poured out his wrath on Jesus on the cross. Why do you think he's mad at you? Let's start believing the Bible that Jesus, that God poured his wrath on Jesus. His demeanor toward you is shaped in a cross and it's love. So he can handle the fact that you're really not ready. Why don't you tell him that? But most of you are. And I want you, in the stage of life you're in, to tell him that. What I want you to say to him is this: God, I have 3 kids under the age of 1, and I don't know what I could do, but I know this. I know that I want to surrender to you. That's it. You may be in a stage of life where you're older and have some physical things, and you're like, God, I can't do what I once did, but I know this, you're not finished with me yet. I surrender myself to you. It's not some big, long prayer that has some big, you know, introduction, big conclusion, 5 minutes in the middle. I'm going to give you 30 seconds in this moment to surrender yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Let's pray. Bow your head, close your eyes. I'm not done with the sermon. Just want to practice this point before we move on. Let's pray. In the quietness of this moment, I'll be quiet. God, in the quietness of this moment, there are people who have prayed. You've heard them all. We offer these prayers to you humbly. We know you'll answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Surrender. How do I know my spiritual gifts? Surrender. Number two, exposure. Exposure. Look at Romans 12, verse 9. So you've got this surrender, and then you've got the spiritual gifts, and here's the passage right after that. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Whoa! I surrender myself individually. God gives me a spiritual gift. Where am I to use that? In the body of Christ. That's exactly what that is right there. That is exactly what that is right here. How do I know my spiritual gift? Number one, I surrender. Number two is exposure. Exposure to brothers and sisters in Christ. I wish there was some way you could walk out the door this morning and we just all knew, like we all knew what our spiritual gift is. Hospitality and this and that. And you just kind of said, oh, this is mine. I kind of carry it out. Wish it was as easy for me as it is for Rob. He preaches messages, you know. I don't know mine. How do I know? You expose yourself in the body of Christ. By the way, that list that was just there, everything in that list is really normal. Every single thing. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. I mean, it's like normal church living advice. So within the body of Christ, you expose yourself to brothers and sisters. Why do you think it says that? Because your brothers and sisters, while you're in the body of Christ, are going to sometimes see your gifts more clearly than you will. They will. They'll note who has a gift of exhortation. They'll note who has a gift of teaching. They'll note who has a gift of this or that. It'll become obvious, but you have to expose yourself to other people. What are ways to do that here? You could be in a community group. If you're not in a community group and you would like to be... please see me. You could be in a Wednesday night Bible study. You could be here. I'm not saying this in a reprimanding way at all. I know whenever I said this, it's like, ooh, he's talking to me. No, you could be here 15 to 30 minutes before church starts or after church ends. I'm serious. You say, why? Because you're exposing yourself to other people. Where do you think the gift of exhortation is going to come out? Some of you are just... you've got it, man, and you're not even thinking it. You're encouraging. You are. And that gift is operational when you're around other people. I'm going to say something that may tweak your ears for a little bit, but you know, it's kind of like when your ears start ringing, it goes away a little bit. So it's going to tweak, and then it'll go away. All right, so I promise it'll go away. I think it'll go away. So a few weeks back, my wife and I, we were on vacation. We visited a couple of churches, but one of them was in the area here. And we don't use this language. We use other language, but I'm going to use his language to kind of ding your ears a little bit. But at the end of the service, the pastor said, hey, stick around for a little bit. He said, if you need prayer, come forward. We'll pray with you. But stick around and prophesy over one another. Oh, my word. What did he mean by that? Here's what he meant by that. 1 Corinthians 14, it says, when you come together, every one of you has a prophecy. What that means is, God has laid a scripture on your heart, and at times, here's the wording we use, here's our wording, God's burdened me. We use similar language, same language, right? God's burdened me. So I wonder what would happen here if you came to church and through the week you were praying for people. Somebody just shared this with me yesterday. They were praying for some people throughout the week. You're praying for people, and God just lays somebody on your heart. And there's a passage, and it's just something you want to encourage the other person with, and you go to that other person and say, hey, I was thinking about you this week while I was reading this passage, and it says that God is a father to the fatherless. You don't know how I needed that. Man, do you know what that is? That's God gifting you to bless somebody else and strengthen their faith. And that ought to be happening hundreds of times on a Sunday, not just from the pulpit, but in the pew. Expose yourself to other brothers and sisters. Number two, expose yourself to the volunteer needs in the local body. Now, on Sunday, September 25th, we're going to have a ministry fair. Here's what that is. After the morning service, probably in the Timothy building, we're not sure yet, the various ministries of the church are going to have a table, and we're going to encourage you to get involved, okay? And it may be with one of those ministries, but it may be more informal. It doesn't have a table like the Ministry of Encouragement. So we're going to have that on Sunday, September 25th. The theme of that Sunday is, what team are you on? Okay, what team are you on? This is football season, right? This is football season. I mean, I know you may not be a football fan and stuff, but this is football season. So it's what team are you on? And one of the things I'm going to encourage you to do on that Sunday, I know you may be surprised at this, but I want you to consider, if you don't want to do this, it's fine. I'm not going to call anybody out. But I want to encourage you to wear a shirt or socks or a tie or something of your favorite team, all right? And whatever that team is, there will be a promise of no harassment, no calling out, no nothing on that day, okay? And I'm just going to ask you to not do one thing, all right? Do not do one thing. Please do not find dad's old t-shirts, extra large, extra, extra large, and write on it God's team with a cross on it. Do not do that. Do not do that, all right? Don't kind of jack it up. Here are all these infidels who have spiritual, you know, these teams, and I'm on God's team, all right? No, let's not do that. But on Sunday, September 25th, we're going to have a ministry fair, all right? These church ministries represent a section of gifts, but not all the gifts. Surrender, exposure, and number three, observation. I'm almost finished. Romans 1:11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." How should we observe? Here's how we should observe. Where are people being strengthened in their faith? Where are people being strengthened in their faith? You heard a testimony today about somebody's faith being strengthened by just helping somebody know how to cook things. Where are people being strengthened in their faith? I couldn't resist showing you a couple vacation pictures. I will not bore you with a ton of them, but I think I selected three vacation pictures. I don't know what fills your soul to where you feel like, when I look at that picture, by the way, that picture is funny. My daughter Hannah took that picture. Can you see in toward the right of the picture, like a white shirt? I don't have my pointer. Do you see the white shirt? That's my son Aaron eating a box of Cheez-Its. Do you know when your kids are really small and you're worried about them picking up a cigarette butt and putting it in their mouth and you're always worried about stuff? Well, guess what? When they grow up, they go across ravines. You don't know where they're at. And they're way over there. So it doesn't get any better. Okay, it doesn't get any better. The anxieties only increase. But when I look at those mountains, we are in Colorado, I feel relief. I think we got a couple more pictures up there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that. Oh, I love those, man. Listen, Ephesians 4:16, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Do you know how you should feel when you leave church? May not be to the same level every Sunday, but you should feel like, it's good being God's house. Not because the music was a 9 out of 10 today, or the sermon went shorter, or you know this or that, but you are with brothers and sisters, and you feel the effect of those gifts on you. You feel the effect that your faith is strengthened just enough to go into the week with all of the challenges you have. Your heart was lifted just enough to be able to face the challenges of your marriage or the challenges of parenting or this boss at work, but you are with God's people and you are strengthened. And by the way, if you walk out and you're like, I do that every Sunday, nobody's doing that, and nobody's this or that, then here's my advice to you. I know it sounds cold and callous, but here's my advice to you. Paul says, I hope to be with you to exercise a gift to strengthen your faith so that we will be mutually encouraged. If you don't feel like you're being encouraged, start encouraging someone else, and you'll get encouraged. That's what the Scripture says. Stop waiting. Well, look at these people. Nobody coming. Nobody's encouraged. I'm not encouraged. You start. If you're a Christian, you start. You get in the ball game. Get off the bench. Nobody's going to call you in. God's calling you in. If you're surrendered, you're in, man. And your gift is valuable, and it is important, and it is strengthening. I can't even tell you how many times I've left here. And yes, I'm tired after I'm done preaching. I try to put a lot into that. And I feel like that energizes me. But I kind of feel like, oh, and I'm open to the devil. I want to tell you, I am open. If you want to find the perfect criticism shot, approach me like on a Monday or a Saturday night, right around the message time. But you know how many times I've left this building and I feel in my spirit strengthened, not because of the message, but because of one of you, or two of you, or three of you, or observing a group of you. And the gifts that you are using are strengthening my faith. Let's all get in so that the body grows and builds itself up in love. May we be a church, folks, that's not known for problems anymore, but has slapped on the outside of the building love. You want to get loved by people, you go to Bethel Baptist Church. Some people laugh at that. No way! I see a future where people would say that. You want to be loved like nobody's been loved before, you go to Bethel Baptist Church. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are the captain of our souls and you are guiding the ship of your local church and of our lives, and we can rest in you and trust in you. Thank you, Jesus, that you, by your Spirit, give gifts. Now, as we go out from this place today, Jesus, may we strengthen one another and build one another up. And may we surrender 1,000 times today when we're tempted to take our life off of the altar. With the challenges we face, we pray that our faith would be strengthened. We ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.